Hello, everyone. We're going to let everyone filter in here for a minute. Okay, there we are. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the next edition of On the Inside with James O'Keefe. Every Wednesday, each Wednesday, between 2, 3, 4 o'clock Eastern Time or so, and we're going to talk about the latest story involving the Small Business Administration just breaking on X. This is the people always ask, who's actually running the government? Who's actually running the White House? We're going to talk about that. We're going to start the show with that. O'Keefe Media uncovering who is really running the White House. Now, as you can see, I'm in a nondescript bunker, secret location. I've been in the field. I was actually in Mexico yesterday. I'm not in Mexico anymore, but that's why if you're looking at Rumble and YouTube and Instagram behind me, you see a bunch of non-citizen identifications. More on that later. But we're going to start the show talking about the SBA. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some breaking news in the FBI. We're going to talk about New York City illegal immigrants. And we're going to talk about much more. So we'll start with this SBA story. SBA helping Democrats get elected. Play some audio, play some video, get some reactions.
Guzman is a spokesperson for Biden and is the most traveled member of the cabinet as she uses her position to help get Democrats like Montana Senator John Tester reelected.
Administrator Guzman said basically are going to these critical battleground states to basically campaign for President Biden.
Anytime you try to visit a member of Congress, if they're Democrat,
you have to do that.
Why do you need a number?
Yep, I'm on it right now.
So we're going to
Chris, you need over here. Chris, need the phone over here.
Say like the Democratic senator from Montana, like he's in the top of the election race.
Chris, need the phone over here.
If he loses Montana, we're screwed.
Yeah, it's harder to win somewhere else. We all, like, as an office, we're going. The White House was like, yes, go. Invite Senator Tester. Don't invite the other senator because he's.
So what's interesting about this SBA official is he's telling undercover journalists. This is the same undercover journalist as last week. They're going to these critical battleground states. There's a potential Hatch Act violation. Now, what is the Hatch Act? White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain was warned about violating rules that prohibit government officials from engaging in campaign activity in their official capacity. So this official is talking about how they're going to critical battleground states. His name is Tyler Robinson. He's the special advisor to the administrator of the U.S. Small Business Administration. And re-electing Democrats, they're going to Montana because of Senator Tester. He's in a tough re-election race. If he's talking about John Tester, loses Montana, we're screwed. It's harder to win someplace else. So this is what these people are saying. Also campaigning the Small Business Administration. This is part of what some call the deep state, what I call the administrative state, are talking about electing certain officials. And these are unelected officials. Let's listen to what he says.
Tyler Robinson. Tyler is a special advisor working at the Small Business Administration.
You're in politics, right?
Well, yeah.
Okay, how long have you been in politics?
Since like 2012.
What's your title? Like
special advisor? I work for the chief staff, like directly.
Oh, you report to the chief of staff? What's the person?
His name's Arthur.
Okay, it's a guy.
Yeah.
Arthur. So Arthur's the chief of staff to Guzman, and then you report to Arthur.
Yeah.
Well, Tyler explains he reports directly to a man named Arthur Plews, the chief of staff in the office of the administrator at the SBA.
So this is not a low-level official, everyone. This is a guy who's actually reporting to the chief of staff of the U.S. Small Business Administration. Let's go to more sound here. Isabel Guzman is the most traveled member of the cabinet.
She's the most traveled member of the cabinet. Like, pretty much every week.
You need a boss?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much every week she goes somewhere in the country and, like, talks to small business owners and gets on local news and says, like,
wow,
this is what the Biden economy is doing for you guys in this area.
So she's basically a spokesperson for Biden.
Yeah.
So and, like, she can tell Biden's
we accomplishments. Can't, like, she, yeah, we can tell their accomplishments. She can't, like, go on stage and be like, or go on there and just be like, hey, vote for Joe Biden. Like, that's illegal.
So she's indirectly,
like,
campaigning for Biden.
Yeah.
She's indirectly campaigning for Biden.
Yes. Yeah. But, like, Yeah, there's just certain rules for like political appointees and what we're allowed to say and like do.
You and your boss?
Yeah.
What's her name?
Isabella Guzman.
This audio is actually pretty clear. Usually it's really noisy, but I hope everyone on X can hear it. Give a thumbs up if you can. Isabel Guzman, Tyler Robinson, if you're just joining us, we're going over the recent bombshell from OMG. Every week we break a new story, and Tyler Robinson, the special advisor to the U.S. Small Business Administration, talking about who runs Washington, D.C.
She's from California, so we're going to this area in Pennsylvania, which is a huge swing state.
It's a huge swing state.
Yeah, a state that Biden needs to win the presidency. And we're not saying, hey, go vote for Joe Biden, but we're saying, hey, because we passed this law, and this law that no Republicans voted for, that only Democrats voted for and passed, we are, at that time, that trip, we announced that the administration was investing $5 million. This is going directly to that community.
So why can't you help Biden?
It's called the Hatch Act.
There he is. He's talking about the Hatch Act, the law that prevents these government officials from being political. And he talks about how they're indirectly helping them. He also talks about a man named Jeff Zients, chief of staff. Let's listen to what he
Tyler
says.
Tyler Robinson continues to describe the inner workings of the Biden White House by mentioning Jeff Zients, the White House chief of staff. Tyler states, quote, by getting Jeff's sign-off, you're getting the president's sign-off, labeling him as the second most powerful person in Washington, D.C.
Down the line, it's up to, the president and the chief of staff.
The chief of staff to the president of
There's a guy named Jeff Zients.
Jeff Zients?
Zients. Within the White House, there's something called the Office of Cabinet Affairs.
Office of Cabinet Affairs.
Yeah,
okay.
And so
names.
Yeah, they're responsible for, overseeing all the different cabinet agencies, like cabinet secretaries.
And your boss is one of the cabinet secretaries. So
they told
it went all the way up, basically, for approval. So Jeff is the final approver.
I guess it would be the president, but in reality, it's probably Jeff, yeah.
So the president also has to sign off on this?
Yeah. By getting Jeff's sign off, you're getting the president's sign off.
Oh, this Jeff guy's powerful.
Yeah. Realistically, they are, people call him, the second most powerful person in Washington. Because most of the time, it's someone that's close to the president. And, who has always been with him and, their most trusted advisor.
So he says Jeff Zients is more powerful than Kamala Harris, the vice president. People are always wondering who's actually running the country. This individual, Tyler Robinson, goes on to list a number of people in Washington that do run the country.
So, generally, most of the time, it's hey, whatever this guy says is what the president says.
Whatever Jeff Zients says is what Joe Biden says.
Sign off on things without the president.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine if you ask people who the White House chief of staff was, I doubt anybody outside of Washington to see.
Why is he so stealth?
This is kind of a role.
Because that gives him more power.
Yeah.
More ability to do things, get things done.
Yeah.
Because everyone knows about him.
If you follow politics, you know who the chief of staff is. But the average American wouldn't know.
But is he appointed or elected?
He's appointed.
He's appointed by who?
Biden.
Yeah. Tyler even goes so far as to state that Jeff Zients runs the White House. When he was 35 years old,
All right, so I describe in the video a little about who Jeff Zients is. He's a young guy. He's talking a lot about how powerful he is, more powerful than the vice president is what he says.
And is Jeff more powerful than Kamala?
Not legally, but
in practice he is.
Yeah.
Who would you say is the most powerful person at the White House?
Jeff.
Yeah. Jeff is the most powerful person at the White House.
Other than the president.
Yeah, other than Biden, he's the most powerful. Whatever he gives to Biden to sign, Biden signs. I don't know how many of you heard of this Jeff Zients character. I don't think I have heard of him, but let's see what else he says here. Also about shadow advisors.
Tyler Robinson has a lot to say about Biden's shadow advisors that were never selected or voted for by Americans and lists them directly by name, stating there are 5 or 6 people who are Biden's closest advisors and have worked for him for over 30 years.
Joe Biden, he's been around for so long. He has, a solid group of people around him, but, they're his closest advisor. He has a group of people, there's probably, 5 or 6 people that work for Joe Biden and have worked for him for 30 years. They go on TV sometimes. One of them.
Someone just commented, OMG needs to do a Where Are They Now series on what happens to these people. I actually think that's a great idea. Someone actually decided to call it OMFG. Some commenter said OMFG on the word find to try to follow up, because it is interesting where these people get promoted, demoted, or get vanished off the face of the earth. Now, this Tyler Robinson's about to go through all the names of the people working in and around Joe Biden that run the country. One of them is Ron Klain.
It was Ron Klain.
Ron Klain?
Ron Klain. Okay. He was the first chief of staff. He left.
Okay, before Jeff.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he also worked. Ron worked for Biden when he was like a senator.
Oh,
for a
okay.
super long time. And then he worked for him when he was vice president. And then he worked for him. He worked for Obama for a little bit.
So he's been, he's worked with a lot of people.
He helped run the Hillary campaign. So he's like one of them. There's a guy named Steve Ricchetti. They're old friends. He worked for Biden.
Steve Ricchetti, Ron Klain, Jeff Zients. These are the names of the officials high up in the White House.
For like years, he's like a senior advisor at the White House. Anita Dunn, she is senior advisor.
One of these advisors is a DC.
Now, Anita Dunn, I know that name because of Acorn, when I was investigating Acorn a number of years ago. So the video goes on. We got a little clip of the Acorn story here of the pimp and hooker. You're not a pimp, they said. Well, I mean, I was presenting myself as someone who wanted to whore out underage girls, so pimp protocol doesn't require the wearing of a chinchilla fur to be a pimp. Remember this scandal? I don't know how many, this is 15 years ago now, so they said I wasn't a pimp because I didn't wear the fur coat. Congress defunded Acorn. Gene Sperling is another individual. We're going to call these people for comment. By the way, we already have called a few. Let's see what he says about Gene Sperling.
Gene Sperling. So that's four people?
Yeah. His sister.
Huh?
Biden's sister is like
Biden's sister? What's her name?
Valerie
Biden?
Yeah. She
I didn't even know Biden had a sister, by the way. I know Biden has a son named Hunter, a daughter named Ashley, and now this sister runs the Biden Foundation at the University of Delaware.
The Biden Foundation.
So all five of them were personally picked and appointed by Biden to basically run the show for him.
Yeah.
No, so there's Tyler Robinson, special advisor of the SBA, who works directly for the chief of staff there and the cabinet member, saying that all these officials run the administration on behalf of Biden.
I mean, the president can't do everything.
Yeah.
So you have to delegate.
Yeah.
There are people that run his different
departments. Would you say those five people plus Jeff do more than the president himself?
It kind of depends.
Yeah. But they have ability to make decisions for the country without having to necessarily get the president's sign-off.
Yeah, I mean, they have to get the president's sign-off.
Yeah, but like how often would the president say no?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So if it ends up on the president's desk, then he'll probably sign off on it.
If they put it on his desk, then yeah. Like, anything he wants to
So the Biden will probably sign off it. So how about we give Mr. Jeff Zients a call, everyone? What do you say? The White House, is it the White House Chief of Staff? Is that correct? Jeff Zients? Jeff Zients works for Joe Biden, more powerful than Kamala Harris. What's the over-under, everyone, that Zients will pick up the phone? What do you guys say? What do you guys think?
I think he will.
You think he will? Oh, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to the latest investigative bombshell. What an intrepid undercover citizen journalist. What an intrepid person. I know you're listening. I can't say what your name is. But great work. Once again, citizen journalists, American swipers, meeting with people in Washington, D.C. So what do you guys think? Hit me in the comments. Do you think Jeff Zients going to pick up the phone if we call him? Yes. Yes. Everyone's saying yes, 100%. I love your optimism. 25%. No way he picks up a phone. What if I polled it? What would people say? Coin flip. Yes, no, I'm going to read the comments. 50-50, yes, 0% chance, 100%. Well, you guys are pretty divided on this. You guys are pretty divided. It depends. Yes, yes, no way. It's like everyone's either 100% in or 100% out. Nope, yes, nope, yes. Let's go ahead and give Jeff Zients a call. I'm actually going to have my colleague do it from a different phone number, so it's not O'Keefe Media Group showing up on the phone. Let's see. Here we go. Let's call Jeff Zients.
Hello.
Hi, is this Jeff?
It is.
Oh, Jeff Zients picked up the phone. This is breaking news. The chief of staff to the White House is on the line. So for all of you non-believers, all right, you need to have more faith, okay? You miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and 80% of success is showing up. Let's see what Jeff Zients has to say about this breaking story.
Hey, Jeff, this is I'm a journalist with O'Keefe Media Group. I want to get your comment on a story we're going to be running at the White House. If you had a few moments, if you don't mind.
What's the story?
This is great. Jeff Zients on the line with OMG, the man who's more powerful than Kamala Harris, the man who Tyler Robinson says basically runs the White House. Let's see if he's interested in commenting.
So I have a subject in your branch of government, and he's talking about how, quote, you're the most powerful person at the White House compared to the vice president. Are you more powerful than the VP?
I'm not interested in this story, thank you.
Sir, I'd like your comment on that. The American people would like to know. Sir.
No comment. Sorry.
Sir, can you answer the question? The American people are interested. Are you, this is a source I'm not going to reveal, are you more powerful than the vice president? He says this. He says, who's the most powerful?
He hung up the phone. No comment. I think no comment is a comment. Wouldn't you agree? I think that when someone says no comment, it's true. It's true what Robinson said. And by the way, if you're a citizen journalist listening, a little lesson in journalism ethics, you always want to call the people for comment that, I guess.
So, hey, James. James Grant.
Hey, Grant, there you are. How are you doing, Grant Cardone? What's your reaction?
Let's say that you called me. Let's say I don't want to comment, James, but I want to give you something more than no comment. What would I say to you?
Well, you could say we could speak on background or off the record, but I would have to agree to that.
Yeah.
I mean, what are your thoughts, Grant?
Phone call. Let's say somebody was putting me on the spot, jamming me in front of a bunch of people, right?
Yep.
What would I say to you that would be like, okay?
I think he should say, or you would say, you know, tell me more about what you have. I'd like to see the video recording. I'd like to see the transcript. I'd like to see the information. That's what I would do.
Yeah, like, oh, that's really interesting, man. I hadn't heard that. Please send me what you have, and then I'll give you a call back.
Well, yeah, show me the video. If someone said, hey, James O'Keefe, I've got this video recording, and I'd like your comment on it, I would ask them to send it to me or send me a transcript of it for sure.
Yeah, now do you feel better about me now?
Do I feel better about you?
No, I'm just saying in that situation, if I was the person you were calling.
I think so. I mean, I think that you, someone who is a little more transparent, I mean, we use the hidden camera journalism because people are so dishonest. And we need to know what's happening in our government with our public officials. And that's the whole problem with journalism, isn't it? That it's kind of a charade. It's kind of a game between the source and the reporter. And the reporters tend to simply publish what they're told. And oftentimes it's the person in the government manipulating the journalist, not the other way around. That's why I do what I do. That's why we do it this way.
When are you going to post that video on YouTube that where you came and interviewed me without me knowing who you were?
I don't think that happened. Well, you mean in Florida, in Miami, first week of January?
Man. I didn't know who you were when you got here.
No, I think you did.
Okay. I was trying to create some intrigue for your YouTube channel, bro.
Well, We interviewed each other a year ago, but we're trying to make the finishing touches on that. That should go out tomorrow or the next day.
Okay.
Thank you, Grant. Hey, Libby Emmons, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here, James. How's it going?
Now have you done any reporting on who actually runs the White House? Are any of these names, Jeff Zients, Anita Dunn, are any of these people familiar to you?
Oh, sure. Well, Ron Klain was the former chief of staff in Joe Biden's White House. And he was replaced by Jeff Zients, I think, at the beginning of 2023. And of course, Jeff Zients, for anyone who remembers covering COVID, Jeff Zients was the CDC spokesperson. So anytime you tuned in to CDC briefings and they had everyone coming in remotely, they had Fauci and Rochelle Walensky, you had Jeff Zients as the moderator. I was pretty surprised when he became chief of staff because he had been such a buffoon during COVID. It was, he just seemed so poorly informed and uninterested in anything that was going on. He had been the counselor on the White House. He was the coronavirus response coordinator from right when Biden took office to April 2022. He left the White House after steering the administration's COVID vaccination campaign. So you know that this guy is a real winner. He came back, he was working with Ron Klain when Klain was the chief of staff. They worked on, staff turnover. And then Klain assigned Zients to projects to, prep him for taking on the chief of staff position.
And there's also this guy named, this Klain guy. He's the former chief of staff, right?
He's the former, yeah. He's
okay. Former chief of staff. And Anita Dunn, have you heard her name?
I have heard her name. I don't remember what her story is. But yeah, I definitely remember her name. And this Small Business Administration person is not the only one who's going around campaigning while she's on the payroll of the people of the United States. We see it all the time, even with Karine Jean-Pierre. She'll make jokes about how she's not allowed to campaign from the press briefing room, and then she'll make comments about, Trump and comments about Biden. And it's very clear what's going on there. It's very clear that the White House's staff is simply campaigning for this guy who barely even knows he's running for president.
Now, is that a Hatch Act violate? Hatch Act, federal law passed in 1939, limits certain political activities of federal employees, as well as some state, D.C., local government in connection with federally funded programs. The law's purpose, I'm reading from the Office of Special Counsel, is to ensure that the programs are administered in nonpartisan fashion to protect federal employees from political coercion and to ensure that federal employees are advanced based on merit, not affiliation. This guy is talking about how the SBA chief is campaigning to reelect Tester. Would that be a violation of the Hatch Act?
Yeah, I keep thinking it is a violation of the Hatch Act, and I think that it would be a violation of the Hatch Act, but you'd be hard-pressed to get the Department of Justice to take up a case against the Biden administration for that kind of violation, especially since the Department of Justice is essentially also engaged in campaigning by, suppressing, trying to silence and imprison the chief political opponent of the current president.
And also raiding journalists, taking their phones and going through their sources. We have a little more information about that here with the brand new motion that has been filed yesterday in the affidavit involving my case with the FBI and the Ashley Biden diary. It's funny how the circle is now complete. So was that the DOJ, Libby, would they prosecute that if they were to? It would be the Department of Justice?
Be the Department of Justice. That would be the one who would take this up. It would have to go through the DOJ. As we see with all of this stuff, Hunter Biden's prosecution, that goes through the Department of Justice. All of that kind of stuff.
It is truly remarkable that every time we break one of these videos, the only thing that actually does happen is the people take down their LinkedIn page. I do find that interesting. Maybe we should just we'll continue to do videos on every single government official, and they'll all take down their social media and LinkedIn. Isn't that interesting? I mean, I know that's not...
They take down their social media, and then they act like they just never existed, and they turn the whole thing off, they stop watching it, and they figure that it just goes away. To a large extent, doesn't it go away? Because no one pays attention to it in the legacy press.
That's the issue. I mean, the legacy press is, I have my opinions, you have yours, but... I feel like, the legacy press is we haven't reached the tipping point just quite yet, but we're probably there where I think these things are waking people up. But I am actually astounded that we just don't know what happens to these people. Are they fired, promoted, demoted? Are they given a private spanking? What?
Nothing happens to them. They just stay in their positions. They move around the White House.
But it is interesting that they're so willing to tell the truth in private. I'm sure the powers that be don't like that. They can't be happy about Tyler Robinson's, you know, spilling all the beans. One thing the communists fear more than anything else is being exposed. So I'm not, they're not happy with them, but they do take down the LinkedIn page.
What happens, Steve?
I think the thing that happens is that people wake up. I think what you're doing, at what we're all doing, anyone who's in the information game of exposing what needs to be exposed, I think it marginally wakes people up, and that does matter. Even waking one person up is an important task. But as for prosecution, I mean, the challenge, Libby, in my opinion, is that the people, you know, a lot of our audience says those people need to be in jail. But what I see is that those people want us in jail. So both sides want to jail each other. And I don't know how that works in an American republic, or, you know, a republic which is also a democracy which is also a republic. But what do you think the accountability is needed, Libby?
Accountability for the guys that are currently in office and doing all of this kind of stuff, I think they need to be voted out. I don't think that prosecuting your political opponents, trying to imprison them, is a great idea. I don't think that's a great idea for either side. Now, the fact of the matter is, when Trump's presidency was nearing its conclusion of his, you know, four-year term in office, we heard people in media, we heard political pundits and political operatives saying outright that they would be attempting to, you know, prosecute people who had worked in the Trump administration. And we saw that fully. And that's what they said. They said they were going to prosecute these people and make sure that they weren't able to get jobs. And of course, when Trump got into office, I was hearing from, you know, people who work in politics in D.C. saying that they would never take a job with the Trump administration because they, even if they were, you know, on board with it, which many of them were, because they feared what would happen to them. They feared the retaliation after they left those positions or after Trump was out of office. And it was a very, you know, it was a real chilling effect on the Trump administration. And it was difficult for him to always hire because a lot of people weren't willing to take the positions because of the fear of political prosecution. And that fear was well-founded. Those political prosecutions have been delivered. There's 18 co-defendants in Georgia. You know, in this ridiculous case, you have, you know, what, some 1,300 Americans have been arrested on J6 charges. You have electors in Michigan and Wisconsin, you know, in many cases, elderly people who are facing prosecution there. There's talk about prosecutions, I think, in Arizona as well. So these are well-founded fears, and you see that this is coming from the Democrat side, which is, of course, the side that leans much further toward communism than the conservative side, which basically says, hey, everybody, let's live our lives and leave each other alone for the most part just to do that. I think it would be a mistake to have political prosecutions, you know, if Trump gets into office, to have prosecutions of Biden staffers just for the sake of it. But if people have broken laws, that certainly should be investigated. Then again, the business of the American people is not to watch the political leaders of the country go back and forth yelling at each other and imprisoning everybody and yep. wasting all of our money on lawsuits. And I think that the real accountability would be for the American people to stand up and say, we want you to properly run this country, we want you to properly govern, we want you to secure our borders, fix the economy, have proper trade, give us decent jobs, make sure that we have a nation worth raising our kids in. That's what we really need.
Yeah, I mean, that's well said. I agree with you. I think jailing everyone is not the solution. And here's a little aside that someone told me recently in New York City. I'm from New Jersey. If I were to poll all the people in Ocasio-Cortez's district, and I said to all these people that loved Ocasio-Cortez, how many of you want James O'Keefe in prison? How many of those people would say, yes, I want James O'Keefe in prison for his undercover work? Now let's say I go to rural Michigan and I say, how many of you want Ocasio-Cortez in prison for her shenanigans? It just is not sustainable in a republic to jail everyone. I think we need more information, we need more sunlight, we need thousands of videos like this. Bravo to the intrepid investigative reporter. And coming up, we're going to be calling the man himself, Tyler Robinson, on the phone. I just called the White House Chief of Staff. Got through. No comment, no comment, no comment. Grant Cardone making the point. Well, what is he supposed to say to you, James? Hey, listen, That's why we use hidden cameras, because journalism is a charade. Journalism is a fraud. It's actually rooted in the nature of journalism itself. It's kind of a contrived occurrence between source and reporter. That's why we do the undercover work. We're going to call Tyler Robinson. We're going to break down this FBI situation with the diary, because there's a brand new order out yesterday about the unsealing of my affidavit, try to find out what happened. We're going to talk to Samantha Hernandez, reporter for Turning Point. We're going to talk to Laura Loomer about updates in New York City illegal immigrants, Ashley St. Clair, and talk about Kyle Serafin just right after this.
Every move in communication is being tracked by our phone. I know a lot about electronic security and cyber threats that we all face every day. And one of those things I know for sure is that the smartphone you're likely using is being listened to and tracked 24/7. They can see our texts and emails. They know where we go, they know who we call, which apps we use, and what we buy and what we browse. And by having an ad ID running on our phone, the apps we are using are constantly gathering and storing our personal information and using it to monitor us and monetize our data. We thought our phone was the product, but the reality is the product is us, and our personal information is the product. And by the way, even when we think our phone is off, it's still listening.
I could see your lips move.
I'm excited to announce that the days of our phones harvesting our personal private information for the benefit of big tech and big government ends right now. Our friend Eric Prince, retired Navy SEAL, founder of Blackwater, has developed a new smartphone called Unplugged. Unplugged is built with a totally independent operating system that is absolutely secure. No tracking us on apps. Every call and text is end-to-end encrypted. They can't listen in or follow our online activity. And if we're ever under threat, we can enter a code, our data is totally wiped. And I love that it has the camera, speed, storage, and chipset that rival the iPhone and Android. If you're like me, I've had it with all of my personal and private information being exposed and exploited by big tech and big government. So I'm joining my friend Eric Prince, and I'm switching to my new Unplugged phone, and I'm going to tell you how you can too. So write this down. To protect your privacy and get your very own Unplugged phone, go to unplugged.com/OMG. That's unplugged.com/OMG. Take your privacy back, unplugged.com/OMG.
Okay, we are back. We're going to go ahead and call Tyler Robinson, the special, and then we're going to get to Savannah and Laura in a moment. Just want to see if this guy picks up the phone. I'm batting 100%. Here we go. Tyler Robinson, the guy on hidden camera. Let's see if he picks up the phone. Well, I just realized right where I am, I have no cell reception where I am in this hidden bunker. If you look where I am, I'm sitting in front of a bunch of illegal immigrant IDs that have been picked off of the desert ground. More on that later. But do you guys have a phone I could use? If not, we can connect this one to Wi-Fi and make a phone call off of this phone. And if not, then we'll go ahead and we'll do that later. But we'll go to Savannah. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, Jen.
Hey, Savannah. So tell us what's going on in New York City with all of the illegal immigrants and what you're seeing on the ground.
Sure. So, of course, we all saw that footage where 1,300 African migrants went and stormed City Hall right in front of New York, or they at least swarmed it. They didn't storm it yet, maybe, you know, a couple more months for that. But they all went there, and they were pleading for more resources from the city of New York. And it's just an absolute mess over here. I'm actually in the East Village area right now because I'm investigating one of these city centers where these migrants are basically being reticketed, given free hotel rooms, given free plane tickets. I actually posted a video today because I was speaking to one of these migrants who was gleefully singing about how he just got a free trip to Chicago and how once he gets to Chicago, he is going to keep utilizing these special government contractors or these special government institutions, I guess, that are going to keep giving him more plane tickets. So he plans to go to Los Angeles after that. I have a whistleblower right now undercover working on even us potentially getting a plane ticket, because I think it will be interesting to see how easy it is in this city to take advantage of the system. So just a little idea of how insane things are in New York. And, you know, James, it's so out of control that I don't even mind talking about this on the space right now, because I feel like it's so lax with the illegals here that anybody can walk into one of these centers, claim that they're illegal, get a free hotel room, and have access to all of them.
What have you heard, Savannah, on the front of the residences? Because I've known that some churches have been giving out like fake residencies to illegal immigrants, and then there's the New York City card, but how would they plausibly be able to vote?
So this is something that I'm investigating right now. I actually went to a black market out in Queens earlier today where you can buy a fake social security card or even a fake green card, a form of identification. And I was looking into New York election law, and technically you don't have to even have an ID to vote on election day, right? All you have to do is show them a paycheck stub with a proof of residency or some form of identification. It doesn't have to be a physical ID. So because New York is so relaxed, again, we're really going to continue investigating this and pushing the limits on it. But what's to stop anyone from requesting a mail-in ballot or even just walking in on election day and saying, hey, here's a piece of paper with my name and address in New York on it. This is my ID.
Well, I mean, what you're doing is remarkable, and I'd like to talk to you offline. I think we are. We always hear about voting, like circumstantial evidence, the holes in the system, the vault door is ajar, but actually catching it on tape is what matters. Sounds like that's what you're doing. And again, these churches, quote unquote, are giving out residencies. That's what we have, at the footage that we have. So great work, Savannah. Anything else you want to say about what you're seeing?
Just that it's an absolute mess, and I do want to highlight as well that, of course, Donald Trump was in Harlem just yesterday, and the welcome that he got was absolutely incredible, and that is because people in New York are getting pissed off about the state of their city, and Americans very much feel the exact same way. So we're starting to feel that energy shift here in the city. I've tried to talk to New Yorkers as well, ask them their viewpoint on what's going on here, and they're extremely upset about the illegal immigrants that are taking over their city and making the city streets unsafe.
Yeah, it's sort of waking people up. Thank you, Savannah. Let's go to Laura Loomer. Laura, investigative journalist, founder of Loomered, always has interesting things to say. What's up, Laura?
Hey, James. I'm currently in Long Island right now, about to do my show, but wanted to hop on your space. And yes, that's correct. I ended up running into Savannah yesterday in front of City Hall on a street called People with AIDS Plaza, believe it or not. That was actually the name of the street.
Did you say People with AIDS Plaza?
Yeah, that's the name of the street where all of these Islamic African illegal aliens were gathered.
People with AIDS?
Yeah, it was called People with AIDS Plaza. I got a video of it. You always told me when I used to work for you, you better get it on video or it never happens. So I got it on video.
You got on video them the people with AIDS Plaza or
yeah,
which?
All of it. So, this is where all of these African illegal aliens decided to meet. It's People with AIDS Plaza. That's what it's called.
Where in New York City is People with AIDS Plaza located?
In front of City Hall, because of course everybody at City Hall probably has AIDS, right? No, it's funny.
So is that like Black Lives Matter Plaza in front of the White House, or what is that?
Yeah, so I guess they decided to name a plaza a few years ago in New York City, People with AIDS Plaza, to honor all the people who have died from AIDS.
Got it.
But this is the plaza where these African Islamic illegal aliens were. And so I was actually covering the Trump trial, and then I got a notification that there was a swarm of people. I didn't know who. I thought maybe it was the Palestinians, because I had also been reporting on the Hamas protests in New York this week, and my staff and I actually were the ones that exposed the fact that they were waving Hezbollah flags and wearing Hamas bandanas at the rally that has since gone viral. And so I ran over to City Hall, which was like two blocks up the road, and we ended up encountering about 1,000 Africans. And I started talking to these people. Most of them didn't speak English, go figure. And they told me that they were migrants, and they were mostly from Guinea. Some of them were from Sudan, other African nations as well, but most of them were from Guinea.
Guinea.
And they told me, yeah, they were, yeah, Africa. And they all spoke French, and they told me that they were Muslim. And the reason I asked that they were Muslim is because, well, you know, we need to know who's coming into our country. And one of the reasons why we have so much terrorist activity and so many of these Palestinian riots that are taking place across the country is because of unfettered Islamic immigration, especially with these illegals coming into our country. So I got them on video. I'm going to be posting those videos tonight as well. They told me that local mosques have been giving them food and assistance. So we actually have religious institutions that are now getting tax-exempt status, just like we saw with Hyatt, the Jewish NGO, and Catholic Charities, of course, all of which use religion as a shield for their illegal activity of human trafficking and also helping to facilitate and support the invasion. And these Islamic invaders told me that the mosques are assisting them. So, you know, it's important. A lot of people were reporting on the fact that these illegals were Africans, but I believe I was the only person, the only journalist there that was actually reporting on the fact that they were Muslim. And some people will say, oh, well, you're a bigot. Why do you care about mentioning whether they're Muslim? Because it's a national security threat, okay? And this is why Donald Trump wanted to have an Islamic ban. And this is why Donald Trump has talked about re-implementing his Muslim ban. Some people call it a Muslim ban. I call it an Islamic travel ban. Whatever you want to call it.
Hey, Laura, when you were talking to the Frenchmen from Guinea, were they speaking English or did you have a translator?
No, some of them spoke broken English. Some of them spoke better English than others, right? So some of them didn't speak any, but they all could understand the word migrant. They all understood several words, okay? Migrant, asylum, work permit. It's kind of funny, right? Like, they don't really speak English, but those are all words that they understood. And they were gathered there, as Savannah said, because they were trying to get work permits. So somebody told all of these invaders to gather in front of City Hall and that they would be given work permits. And the sense of entitlement that we captured on camera was quite incredible, right? You have these people who are not from this country. They told me they came in through Mexico. I asked them, where did you come in through? The side on, you know, like Texas, Arizona, or California. And they said, well, it was a variety. Some Texas, mostly Arizona, where I'm from, and then some said California. But most of them came via the Mexican border into Tucson, Arizona. And they were open about it. This is the thing that's so crazy, is that usually illegal aliens, right, you would think that they don't want people knowing if they're illegal. But now in Joe Biden's America, people are not worried about accountability. They're not worried about law and order. New York City is a lawless place. Since I've been here, not only have I witnessed Judge Mershon weaponize the court system against Donald Trump, telling him he can't go to his son's graduation, and now I'm also being told that next week, which is Passover, originally they were not supposed to have court next week, but now Judge Mershon is thinking of fast-tracking the trial and forcing the trial to happen. And this puts President Trump at a disadvantage because Orthodox Jews are not going to be able to be selected as jurors, because how are they going to be able to be jurors if they're going to have to, you know, be at court on Friday during Shabbat and then also during Passover? And we know that Orthodox Jews overwhelmingly support President Trump. And also President Trump's attorneys in this case are both Jews. And so Judge Mershon's doing this on purpose. Then I got to see the...
Hey, Laura, when are you releasing the footage of the French migrants?
Well, I've already released some of it. I released a lot of it yesterday. It already has over 1 million views on X. And then I have a video that I'm about to put out in the next 15 minutes or so that shows them admitting that they're Muslim, because I was viciously attacked online and called a racist because I posted a photo of myself behind all of these invaders that said, "Greetings from Africa." And I said, "Just kidding, this is New York City." And people were accusing me of being a racist. And I said, "Well, why is it that CBS News is allowed to say black migrants swarm City Hall, but then I say they're African Islamic migrants," all of which is factual and admitted on video, and I get called a racist, right? So there really is a double standard here. But we're constantly told by the Biden administration that we don't have hordes of Islamic migrants coming into our country, even though DHS has admitted that, you know, Hezbollah and Hamas terrorists and members of ISIS are coming across our border. We know that ISIS is very prevalent, in the form of Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram in these African nations, and people deserve to know the truth. And I caught it on camera. Savannah was standing right next to me when I asked these people if they were Muslim, because she said, how do you know they're Muslim? And I was right next to her when I asked the guy, are you Muslim? And she witnessed it.
Well, while you were in New York City, I was in Mexico City. We were both doing similar things in a different part of the world. But thank you, Laura, for the update, and I look forward to seeing the rest of that footage, and thank you both, Laura and Savannah, for the work you're doing. Laura, any last thoughts on that situation in New York?
I'm going to post the videos in the nest above. Mm-hmm. Savannah also captured similar footage and stuff. I focused more on, you know, the ideological background and also the migration points, because this is something I've been focused on given my reporting in Darien Gap and just kind of like tracking the movements and how these people are coming in. But Savannah, keep up the great work. I mean, Savannah was out there. I just want to make a point too, James. These are all women that were out there. Okay,
right.
We were all surrounded by 1,000 African Islamic men who are known to, you know, in these countries, not really treat women so nicely. They seem to think that it's permissible to rape women, to sexually assault them, to harass them. And where are the men, right? It's time for more men to get out there, too, and start doing this type of investigative reporting, because, you know, there's a lot of women out there that are putting themselves in very dangerous situations, and there were no police there. If one of those migrants decided to physically attack us and it became a mob situation similar to what happened to Laura Logan when she
right.
was reporting on things in Egypt, we could have been beaten or raped, right? We could have been sodomized, right? This is what happens to women that report on these types of people. So I just want to give a shout out to Savannah and Ashley, because it is brave to throw yourself into a situation. And then also my...
Thank you, Laura. Thank you. And for people who criticize, you know, at least they're going there. I mean, you know, we go there. That's what journalists are supposed to do. And credit to you, and haters going to hate. Thank you, Laura and Savannah. So now we're going to get on to the FBI update. We're going to do that here just in 1 minute. Talk about the motion that was given by federal judge in my case, the FBI raid, unsealing the affidavit, and then talk about some other issues involving the FBI, and then get to your questions. 1 second.
Not a week goes by without a news headline about potential medical supply shortages, threats to our infrastructure or power grid, and you remember what they pulled during the last pandemic. Certain medications were...
Chris, walk out. Chris, walk
out. No way will I ever let...
Chris, is there a bathroom in here? Or negative?
No.
Okay. I'm going to have to hold it.
Our friends and supporters of the Wellness Company have designed this unique prescription-based medical emergency kit that is packed with 8 potentially life-saving prescription-only medications, including Z-Pak and Ivermectin, which I use myself while out on the road and start feeling a bit under the weather. Health is everything, and this is a great opportunity to order a Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit today. The Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit stands ready to treat over 30 common ailments, ensuring you'll have access to vital medications when you need them most. And now you can save $45 per kit when you order using the code OMG. Get ready to write this down. Get your Wellness Company Medical Emergency Kit at twc.help/OMG. That's twc.help/OMG, and save $45 per kit today when you use code OMG.
Now we're going to try to call Tyler Robinson from the SBA. Let's see if he picks up the phone now that I'm connected to Wi-Fi in this remote location with no Wi-Fi and no bathroom, by the way. But we're going to go ahead and see if Tyler picks up the phone. We got the White House Chief of Staff. If not, we'll post the recording later. All right. Nope, we're not getting through to him. Okay, well, now we're going to go to the FBI case, an update involving the FBI and the search warrant involving the Ashley Biden diary. This is the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. The federal judge, 2.5 years later, if you're on YouTube, Rumble, you can see it on the screen there. Federal Judge Annalisa Torres just ruling on our motion, my motion, while I was at Project Veritas, to unseal the affidavit that justified the raid against me. And they ruled against it. The judge ruled against it, said we're not going to unseal that affidavit. The Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press is like a liberal organization. and they wanted to unseal this affidavit because it was unconstitutional to raid journalists' homes. And there's, we're going to post this for you to see here. But they, the Reporters Committee didn't really do the best job of articulating why it was unconstitutional. I think they were kind of afraid to say that we were journalists. But you can see on page two of this motion, the affidavits established probable cause that O'Keefe's devices contained evidence of federal crimes, with the Ashley Biden diary specifically, conspiracy to transport stolen property across state lines and possess stolen goods, interstate transportation of stolen property. So conspiracy to transport stolen property across state lines. That's what journalists do. They take information, often without the consent of somebody or given to them. In this case, we didn't think it was stolen. It was abandoned, and it was given to us. But they did these unconstitutional raids, and they just issued this order 2.5 years later against the Reporters Committee for Freedom of the Press. There's actually on this order, I'm going to read to you one footnote, which I found interesting. Over 2 years have passed since the execution of the search warrant at O'Keefe's house, and the government has not yet brought charges or closed its investigation. The passage of time may be, in certain circumstances, weakened the law enforcement interests at issue even before an investigation is closed, but this case does not present such a circumstance. The court appointed a, does not present, I don't know what that means. Is she hinting there's going to be an indictment? The court appointed a special master to review the evidence seized pursuant to the search warrant, and the government did not view the evidence until the special master completed her review and a recommendation was adopted by the court. So they issued this order. They are not willing to unseal the search warrant until the government closes the investigation. The wheels of justice spin really slowly. But this is what you have. And speaking of that, you have the situation involving Kyle Serafin. And I'm going to get to this in a minute. I'm going to pull up the assets on the screen here. This is a situation where just last week you have Kyle Serafin, who was a whistleblower at the FBI. And I find this important to talk about. For those of you who have not followed it, Eric Cochran released a story last week. And it was a pretty good story. It was involving a man who claimed he worked alongside the FBI as a contractor. And this is this guy, maybe he was using puffery or blowing hot air, bragging about, but he was saying that they were going after Alex Jones, they wanted to chop his knees off, and they wanted to have an impact. And Kyle attacked Eric Cochran, and I'm going to show this on the screen here. Eric, all these people are smarter than you, more experienced than you, get a targeting officer. This is Kyle Serafin, who blew the whistle on the FBI. I actually brought Kyle on stage with me at Charlie Kirk's Amfest, and he's attacking Eric Cochran. Now, why am I bringing this up? Why would I talk about this, this friendly fire situation? Because I think betrayal is some of the hardest stuff to stomach, and it's hard to get arrows in the front, arrows in the side, but it's really difficult to get arrows in the back. So I ended up posting about Kyle, and I said, Kyle, you know, reporters are not law enforcement officers. Journalists don't target people like feds do. And you'd know, Kyle, because you were a fed. Kyle was an FBI agent until he blew the whistle on the FBI and came to me with certain screenshots inside the FBI. Eric Cochran blew the whistle on Pinterest, was unjustly raided by the FBI. He's a giant amongst men. By the way, for those of you who don't know, I'm still paying the legal bills for Project Veritas journalists, including Eric Cochran, while Project Veritas is suing me. So then Kyle posted a couple other things. James O'Keefe's journalism is equally bad. I invited Kyle Serafin to come on the show to answer some questions on this. Kyle Serafin then posted this. I'm going to read this for you. I don't know why he's doing this. He said, quote, James needs attention. He should come on InfoWars. I have no interest in his OMG. People upset at Kyle. Kyle writing, you should hear, this is a quote in Kyle Serafin, quote, you should hear how James O'Keefe makes fun of Christians in private. It's off-putting. How it goes white when someone asks him to pray with them. Very telling. I have zero interest in wasting my time talking to James O'Keefe on his show. I can't think of a worse use of my time and not be self-serving. Again, this is Kyle Serafin. Don't understand what's going on with this. And I'm reading this all to you because maybe you can enlighten me. James O'Keefe is not an honorable person. The reporting in question isn't his. So Kyle, they're saying that that the work that I've done is not mine. The work of my team is not mine. And my personal dislike for him isn't your business. James O'Keefe injected him as a white knight. I don't know what he means by that. Does that mean like I think I'm a hero or something? I don't know what he means by that. I advise people that Eric Cochran and James O'Keefe's reporting was subpar. They ran with it. I explained to people who follow and asked me what it was subpar. James isn't a party. And finally, Kyle Serafin writes this quote, "How much time have you spent around James? How many times has he lied to your family or taken money that would have fed your children?" Ouch. That's a low blow, Kyle. Taken money that fed his children. I think what he means to say is that money could have been allocated to his family as opposed to something else when I was at Project Veritas. I think that's what he means. I'm not sure. Quote, "Perhaps you don't know what you're talking about, and perhaps I know far more than I let on. Public perception is not the same as character." So, quote, "Perhaps I know far more than I let on." It kind of reminds me of the Adam Schiff discussion, which is that I know something very, very, very bad about James O'Keefe, but I will not tell you what it is. And this is really the problem in our society, is that, you know, the enemy that we're fighting is really, really challenging and very difficult to overcome and very difficult to defeat. And then you have people who are good people, or they present themselves as good people, and in many regards, it's the thing that we're fighting is not the enemy, it's the things around us that prevent us from winning. So Kyle participated in the coup at Project Veritas, was successful getting me removed from the company I founded, and when I left, there was $10 million cash saved precisely to help people like Kyle. I don't know where that money went. Maybe Kyle can find out. $10 million was there, and it was all gone, and then everyone lost their jobs. So I invite Kyle to come on here and talk to me. I put Kyle on stage. I raised millions of dollars in legal defense funds. I'm still raising money to pay legal defense funds for people that have not been raided. I have no legal obligation to do that, but I do that because it's the right thing to do. And I think the wrong thing to do is to run and hide, is to make comments like that. And the reason I'm spending time on this is because other people won't, I will. It's incredibly disheartening and incredibly discouraging to see good people team up with evil for reasons I don't understand. It could be envy, it could be pride, it could be a number of emotions that I don't fully comprehend. But because Kyle refused to come on this show to talk to me, I'm quoting him and I'm asking questions, because that is what journalists do. They ask questions. Sometimes they're rhetorical. Sometimes they have no answer. And with that, we will go to lightning round. We're going to do an abbreviated lightning round today because I'm in the field and I've got to go back in the field. But this is the time when you all can dial in, team. Go ahead and add a few guest speakers if you could. And we'll get going here. We'll get going here in just about 30 seconds.
I've had it with all my personal and private information being exposed and exploited by big tech and big government. So I'm joining my friend Eric Prince, and I'm switching to my new unplugged phone. Protect your privacy. Get your very own unplugged phone. Go to unplugged.com/OMG. That's unplugged.com/OMG. Take your privacy.
Thank you, James. Unplugged.com. I first swore to protect and defend our founding document in 2008.
Bill Elmore, are you there? Former IBM executive.
I've done that at least three more times. And that oath has become something integral to my being. The oath is compelling.
I've never heard him talk bad about you. Were those recent?
Yeah, those were actually in the last few days. You bet.
And any idea what spurred that on? You said that he was part of
yes.
You know, bringing you down.
Yeah, it's a long Shakespearean tale that would bore half of the audience, but In the grievance document at Project Veritas, one of the sections was actually Kyle Serafin complaining about me. And he had said, he had made comments that likely were not true. I had introduced Kyle Serafin to a donor, a very large supporter, because I actually was trying to help him. And the funny thing about helping people is they end up resenting you for not helping you more if you start to help them. It's one of the fallibilities of human nature. And I actually introduced him to a large, wealthy individual. And then I left. And then after I left, that was a dinner in California, Kyle disparaged me profusely to this individual and then lied about what the individual said to Kyle. So it was, I don't know what is a psyop or manipulation tactic or, I the reason why I'm talking about it is because I think it's very, what I'm describing is very prevalent in society, it's especially in politics and media. And people don't want to talk about it because it's like, well, just ignore it. But it's something that we have to fight against. It's actually the enemy. I mean, look at what happened. It's the enemy that we're fighting against. And I have so many questions, and I've kept my mouth shut. But when you start attacking Eric Cochran, my colleague who was raided by the FBI, and when you start viciously attacking him, that's when you cross the line. Attack me all you want. I don't care. You know, I've been called many things. But when you start attacking Eric for exposing that Oblinus guy last week, I thought that crossed the line.
I'd really be interested in trying to bridge a space with you two and see if that's, if they think that'd be fruitful, but it seems like a possession almost. I mean, because that's a 360-degree turn from what I've heard him say before.
Yeah, the demonic possession, I don't know. I don't know. I think that this business about you could have given money for my family situation, it sounds like something from each according to his ability, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. I don't get that logic. I worked about 100 hours a week to raise millions of dollars so that other people got paid, and then they fired me. So what is it, what exactly do they want from me is the question. And what evidence does he have? I want to see his evidence. If people are going to say, well, you know, James, you know, I know something very bad about you, but I'm not going to say what it is. It's usually bullshit. It's usually a psyop tactic. It's a manipulation technique. It's a gaslighting technique. And I'm calling it out for what it is. Let's go to Brianna Sagdal. Go ahead.
Hey, James. Thank you so much for having me on stage. I really appreciate your guys' time today. I actually wanted to, hey, Bill, so good to see you and everyone else here. I wanted to address the more powerful than VP situation at the beginning of this call and briefly draw
attention. I'll describe Guzman as his.
Sorry about that. I was just loading up the clips. Go ahead and talk about that, and I'll play that audio.
Sure, no problem. Yeah, I just wanted to briefly, you know, touch on this, you know, oh, the stakes have never been higher and Donald Trump is going to be an authoritarian, which, you know, is just so interesting to me because we're watching this narrative build. And yet, you know, if Trump can just step in and become authoritarian, somewhere simultaneously, people must recognize the vast amount of power and authority that has been delegated and centralized within the executive branch. And I think this clip so powerfully illustrates exactly how much authority has been not only delegated, but centralized within our executive branch and the administrative state, or as Mussolini once called it, the state within the state. Mm-hmm. And I applaud your efforts for exposing this, and I just want to give you my support and encouragement to continue on in this endeavor, because it is so important to explain to the public just how much authority has been delegated, and especially through Chevron deference to the administrative state over the last 40 years, and what that means for the American public today. So thank you very much. I applaud your efforts and keep doing what you're doing. You're amazing. Thank you.
That was a wonderful comment, and I'm just going to play the audio that One of the audio clips she's referencing, the administrative state, the state within the state, Congress has abdicated their responsibility. Now all of the powers that should be with the legislative branch are with the executive branch, unelected bureaucrats. But this undercover journalist exposed Tyler Robinson at the SBA talking about who really runs D.C.
But like, how often would the president say no?
Yeah, exactly.
Right? So if it ends up on the president's desk, then he'll probably sign off on it.
If they put it on his desk, saying, like, they think it's the
problem. So these five people plus Jeff are really the ones running the show.
Yeah, it's like that for everyone. Most of the time, they're not people who have ever served in government office, or like elected office. But they're people that have worked in government.
So they were...
There it is. They're not elected by the voters, but they're people who have worked in government their whole life. All right, let's go to David Hill. Go ahead. David Hill, going once, going twice. Let's go to Jukes Creed.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, David, go ahead.
Yeah, James, thanks for having me up, man. Just I've been listening for a while. I'm driving, and so just wanted to say thank you. My only question, I guess, is with this whole Trump thing going on right now, I mean, this guy, he always seems to come out the other side. I mean, do you really think they have anything here on him this time? You think anything that's going to stick, or is he just going to come out stronger again?
Yeah, that's an existential question, because it kind of speaks to the heart of everything. I'm not very good at predict the future questions. I only think God and liars can predict the future. And I think your question is such a good one, because I think it really cuts to the heart of everything we're facing as a country. I have friends that are a little more black-pilled, if you will, in the situation here. In the court of opinion, he may be getting a boost, but in the court of law, maybe he'll be found guilty. So I'm not sure exactly where that goes. You get just over and over indicting someone until basically people who are asleep think that's a bad thing. But people might be waking up. So I think it depends upon your definition there. But I think this is going to give Trump a boost in the polls because it looks so ridiculous. So that's a white pill for you. But very difficult to predict the future. All bets are off. I would say it's a roulette wheel to see if what happens here. Let's go to Jules Krieg. Go ahead, Jukes. Excuse me, Jukes.
Yeah, actually, you're very close. My name's Julie.
Julie.
Yes, thanks, sir. I am a DHS whistleblower, and I just posted in the Purple Pill my response to Kyle's little snarky response to your article that you put up in the title. You know, he seems to question the authority or veracity of the hierarchy, which is intimated in the video. And I just basically called him, you know, Señor Fagundo de Tal or Weisenheimer, you know, why are you saying that? You know, it seems like rather sensitive, reflecting, you know, probably his own insecurities, because he's not having a reasoned argument. He just basically stated that it was the whole thing was full of crap.
Oh, are you talking about Kyle's response to this video from today?
Correct.
Okay. I didn't even know that he did respond. I'm trying to look for that.
It's in a Purple Pill.
Okay.
And I just noticed, and I appreciate what you do. So I was like, you know, why put that response? Why not reason? If you see something wrong, you know, just state it clearly.
Oh, I see it here. Quote, wow, another fat, sad, lonely. I'm reading the response from this FBI whistleblower who's just viciously attacking me and Eric Cochran. Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Wow, another fat, sadly lonely man is mid to low level government job saying something to get laid. Do any of you know how to read an org chart? Just asking. This is embarrassing. Yeah, I mean, that's this. Something's going on with Kyle. I don't know what's wrong, if he's okay, but we just talked to the White House Chief of Staff. Jeff Zients is the second in command, even above Kamala Harris. So I guess the question for Kyle Serafin is, does he not want us to publish this information? I'm just trying to understand what his point is. And the reason why I'm asking the question, because I'm spending a lot of time on this, is because he really hurt a lot of people. This man Kyle really hurt a lot of people. A lot of people are out of work. $10 million down, you know, vanished. So it could just be that he's troubled, you know, there's some issue with him. Or there could be something more sinister afoot. Remember, he came from the FBI. And I came to me as a source. He went public, so I can talk about him because he went public. And I wonder if there's a conspiracy foot. I don't know why he told that donor. He talked so much shit behind my back. He went and created grievance documents behind my back. So was it a psyop? Was it some type of conspiracy? I don't have any evidence except of this bizarre behavior. And it's stuff like this that hurts good people and hurts the cause. It's stuff like this. It's more damaging to the cause than even the enemy. Because it's the people that we surround ourselves with that make or break us. So thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Yes, and, you know, I didn't just do it just to dog on him, but things need to be put in a straightforward and clear manner. If you have a problem with someone's argument, if I don't document things as a whistleblower, then no one's going to take me seriously. Well, I would expect the same from anyone else bringing up a salient point of, you know, what someone else says, especially as all the research you've done. And I pointed that out as well. Thanks.
Yeah, I thank you for your comment. And and Kyle also saying that I need to employ a, quote, targeting officer. Kyle, journalists don't target people. That's what spies do, and that's what feds do. I'm not a fed, and I'm not a spy. Now, 7 years ago, I learned more about this. I learned intelligence and tradecraft. But I learned by reading about this and by being trained by people who are in the intelligence community that I'm not a spy. Spies don't do things for the public interest. Feds don't do things for the public. U.S. prosecutors don't do things for the public interest. You guys target people for all types of reasons, sometimes political, sometimes leverage, sometimes blackmail. I don't do that. I never will do that. We operate in the public interest. And nobody influences what I do or tells me what not to do. That may be why the reason you're attacking me so hard, by the way, is because I can't be controlled. And maybe it's the fact that you can't control me which makes you so angry. But that's not going to change, man. That's not going to change. All right, let's go to one or two more people, and then I got to go back in the field. I'm at the border here. I got all these identifications cards behind me from my team who have picked them off the desert ground. We are doing some dangerous special projects, which I can't really talk about yet. But let's go to another one or two callers. Let's go to, there you are, Matea. It's always good to hear from you. You always have something profound to say. What's on your mind today?
Oh my gosh, profound. Thanks for that, James. I was listening to this and I was just going, thank God, because when we talk to people, citizens of any nation, because this is not just an issue with regarding United States government, but listening to this person just blabber, I was just going, thank God, because it shows interconnectedness of what is actually happening behind the scenes in governments. It's not just the people we see, the presidents, the politicians, it's the web of individuals that is actually running the show. Because when I worked in the Canadian Parliament, this was happening there. So the fact that you're showing this on a broad scale, kudos to you and the team, because it's incredible for people to understand that it's not just politicians doing the dirty work. It's many other people. And bringing that to light helps people to understand what to look out for.
Thank you for the comment, Matea, and kudos to my team. I don't know if they want to be named per se, but the guy who runs these investigations has been doing such a great job. He has worked with Turning Point and other organizations catching pedophiles. He got the White House chief of staff on the phone. He's been so dogged. And kudos to the independent female citizen journalist who received very little training and got these stories. And we're paying citizen journalists to get them. We are providing some training. We're providing the equipment. But this is not easy to do, and credit to the OMG team for making it happen. Thank you, Matea. One or two more. Let's go to Steven Sanders, Bearded Freedom. You're live. Go ahead.
Hey there. Good evening, James. Hey, I wanted to touch base with you guys. If you weren't aware, Governor DeSantis just signed a bill, SB 184, that would prevent anybody from entering a 25-foot halo of a first responder. This was intended to, as Sheriff Mike Chitwood said, using to curb First Amendment use of filming. So they're going to create a 25-foot barrier. And I see this being abused when you start doing, like, protests. You have a 25-foot barrier for each individual officer, first responder, basically creating a giant force field for any journalist to be able to get in and actually get information on a story. And if that wasn't enough, the Land Police Department here in Florida has basically turned, no, not basically, they have. The public lobby is you're banned from using any public audio or recording devices from the public lobby. They signed it into ordinance on April 1st.
Thank you for that information. Let's go to Miss Lou. You're live. Go ahead. Miss Lou going once, going twice. Let's go to Tony Dolas. Tony, are you there?
I am here. James O'Keefe, how are you?
Is that Doles or Dolas?
It's Doles.
Doles, what's on your mind?
Hey, no worries, man. Hey, look here. Let me tell you something. I followed you since Project Veritas all the way up, and let me tell you, you're doing a great job. And let me tell you something, that April 1st thing you wrote down saying you were going to quit and all that had me a little nervous.
that had a lot of people nervous that the video where I kind of did channel some frustration, but I was planning that one for some time. I just wanted, because you guys, I was just quoting back to you all that cynicism and that pessimism and that hopelessness that y'all project, not you per se, but many people project onto me. I was just quoting you guys back to you. Nothing ever happens to these people. Nothing matters. The whole country's screwed. Let's give up. Let's all die. And you guys got upset. The thing that we're fighting against, people, is the cynicism. The thing that we fight against is the cynicism and the nihilism. We change our perspective. We can change the world. Let's go to Tyler. One more. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hello, James. Hey, James, I'm here. I'm sorry. My button was stuck.
Ms. Lou, go. You go first for 20 seconds, and then we'll go to Tyler.
Ladies first.
Go ahead.
Real quick, I just wanted to ask you really quick about the Pfizer situation and the fact we're going warrantless. How is that going to, you know, you said you were served, you know, a warrant and, you know, all that bullshit. Mm-hmm. But, what do you think is going to happen with journalists now with warrantless spying on American citizens?
I have that could be the subject of an hour-long show. I mean, with it really defines who is a journalist. That's the issue before Your Honor, is what defines journalist. And I know that Trevor Tim, Freedom of the Press Foundation, he's actually not a, you know, conservative, but I guess it's a First Amendment issue. He's trying to broaden the definition of journalist. And this motion here that was denied by our team to unseal the affidavit, you come raiding a journalist's homes with a warrant because you have some suspicion that there's evidence of a crime? That's a tautology, meaning it's a circular, it's illogical. You can't just take people's stuff to try to find crimes. And you cross a Rubicon there with going through people's phones and getting their sources. But the problem here for me was that the powers that be did not want to call me a journalist because the implications of calling me a journalist, what that meant for society at large. And that's why this case is such a big deal with the FBI Ashley Biden diary. Keep in mind.
Now they won't need a warrant.
Keep in mind, in our case, they got the warrant eventually, but before they got the warrant, they did warrantless spying. They used secret subpoenas. They went to Google, Microsoft, and Apple and got our emails. And perhaps the search warrant, the FBI warrant, was simply to cover up for the things that they already received in an unconstitutional manner. Keep in mind, let me tease some footage. We have some people in the intelligence community that were going to be coming out. They did not know they're being recorded. And Kyle Serafin, as much as you hate what I do, you'll be happy to know that we have people in the intelligence community that admit some pretty remarkable things and how they're still spying on Trump. And it's a big deal, and it should be published. And thank you for that question about warrantless searches. It's a really, really, really serious situation, and it needs reform. Tyler, you got the last word. Go ahead.
It's an honor to meet James Keefe. I've been watching for quite some time now, and it's good to know that someone with great integrity and honesty is catching people that do everything in their power to hide what they're doing or blame others. I'm a very honest human being. I'm a God-fearing man, and it's just sad to see so many politicians and people that say that they're doing good just not. They're doing everything they can to avoid it and just keep their positions and keep their financial gain. And to see someone such as yourself even going undercover using their own tactics against them, it is quite ironic and refreshing to see that the corruption is very, very blatant. And I just wanted to go to a little psychology thing, is that with evil people, they have two tendencies for how they live their life. When they do evil things, there's two things that they like to do. They either like to brag about it, or they do everything they can to hide it because they're ashamed. And it's quite clear on how much shame there is in the politics these days.
Yeah, thank you for your comment. I mean, evil, it's hard knowing that there is evil in the world. And when you see it up front, and you see it up close and personal, it really has an effect on you. But that's what we're fighting against. And good is attacked by evil. Evil hates good because good has something that evil does not. Evil covets the good. In many regards, evil is envious of the good. And I think these days having that virtue is so important. And that's why it's so important to find good people. And it's so important to find good people with good hearts. People who have a good heart. And that line that separates good and evil runs through each and every human heart. And people like the individual who I shall not name, but the individual who got this tape, you're listening. Bravo. I'm very proud of you. We need more people like you. We're going to pay you for what you've done here, even though I know that you're not doing this for money, but we all need to pay our rent and eat. So you're going to get paid for this video. And if you want to be an American Swiper, you can sign up to become one at OKeefeMediaGroup.com/swiper. And I'm still thinking about the AIDS, the street named after AIDS. What was that ridiculous situation in New York City? And I'm going to have to go to New York City pretty soon with Savannah and Laura. I am not in New York. I'm in an undisclosed location somewhere along the border. And I'm about to go in the field all night. That's what we do. We don't stop. We don't sleep. If I look tired, it's for a reason. And I really have to use the bathroom because I've been on the air for 2 hours. I'll see you next week. For the next edition, every week, every Wednesday, we break a new story, whether you like it or not, and whether you consent to being recorded or not. On the Inside with James O'Keefe, send us a DM on Signal, send us a DM on X, send us a DM on Instagram. Be brave, do something, have courage. See you next week.